chapter 2.
Amen. And it shall come to pass that afterward, this is the Pentecostal verse, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. Amen. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. That's stretching right down to Revelation chapter 6. Amen. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Amen. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant. Are you reading with me? Are you reading with me? You better read with me. This is one of the biggest blind spots today in the church. It's one of the biggest blind spots in the ministry today. It's a piece in a jigsaw puzzle of eschatology that nobody knows what to do with. Amen. And in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Amen. We'll talk about that remnant. I'm going to talk about it in a different name. Amen. Now here's the fulfillment, a partial fulfillment of that prophecy in Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up among them and said, "Hearken to my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day, 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And my servants, my handmaidens, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. They shall prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why didn't he say, "And in the remnant whom the Lord our God shall call"? Because Joel was interested in the full spectrum. Acts 2 was interested in the first part of the fulfillment, the main part, in fact, of the fulfillment. And Joel was interested in the full spectrum. Acts 2 was interested in the first part of the fulfillment, the main part, in fact, of the fulfillment, and was not concerned with a remnant, if you'll allow me to say so. Amen. Acts chapter 15. Praise God. Acts chapter 15. And this is the apostles on the carpet for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul and Barnabas have come home to answer for their actions. And Simon Peter's already had the revival at Cornelius' house. Amen. James the pastor is doing the talking as the argue back and forth the salvation that has come to the Gentiles and the great things that God is doing in the church. Amen. This was a blind spot for the apostles, blind spot for the saints in Jerusalem. They were biased against Gentiles. And you believe that? They got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues, bias against Gentiles. That's all they knew. Amen. Salvation of the Jews, that's all they knew. Amen. And that's why Paul and Barnabas on the carpet, because they're preaching to the Gentiles. Now, James answers and says, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Listen to me. Simon hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Amen. Take out. Did it read the same in your Bible? It does in mine. Take out. Take out. Take out. Let's say it together. Take out. You know what the word church means? It means called out or taken out. Amen. Take out a people for his name. Amen. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. And so he goes back to all the prophets. After this, after what? After the Lord has visited the Gentiles and took out a people for his name. Take out. Amen. Take out, rapture. That's almost the same thing. Caught up, take out, rapture. Same thing, same meaning. Amen. That's what the word church means. Amen. It means taken out or called out. An assembly of called out ones. We're first called and then taken. Taken out. Amen. And so God did it first visit the Gentiles, take out of them a people for his name. To this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this, after what? After he takes them out. Amen. I'll return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down. What's that? That's the temple in Jerusalem. Amen. Tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and will set it up. That, are you reading with me? Have you got your Bible open? That the residue, amen. That's that remnant again, Brother Allen. Residue. After the church is taken out, did you read it in your Bible? After he takes them out. A people for his name. Huh? Amen. And I raised some eyebrows the other night. Amen. I'm going to finish raising your eyebrows tonight. Even time I get through your eyebrows, you'll be combing them back across the top of your head. Amen. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Listen to this. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called. That's after he takes out of the Gentiles a people for his name. He's going to save a residue. A remnant. What is residue? Do you know what a residue is? Amen. You know what a residue is. You've got one in every Coke can after you drank the whole Coke. You can turn it up and shake it a little bit, you can get a few drops out of it. Can't you? Amen. They'll even dock you for that when you take them down and sell them back to them by the pound, you know, because it's got a residue in it. Huh? Amen. Got a residue in it. It's not the main Coke you drank that. Amen. It's what's left. Amen. Residue. When I put oil in the car, I pour the whole quart in. I just like to leave it sitting there. If I got time, you know, and just let it run for a while because it just keeps trickling down. Amen. And even after I've left it there a while, if you're not very careful, you'll strain oil from the place where you put it in, clear out across the radiator, get some on you because there's still a residue. Huh? Still a residue. Amen. Now, guys that change oil, they throw that in the waste can with everything else. And if you wanted to take the time, if it was precious enough to you, you could get all those oil cans and, amen, get your funnel and pour the residue out of one of them and have you some oil. Amen. Wouldn't be much, but it'd be oil. It'd be very, very good if you didn't have any oil. You could oil something with it. Amen. But since we've got so much, the residue is not important to us. Amen. Okay, I'll read to you again. After this, I'll return after God visits the Gentiles, takes out of them a people for his name. Amen. After this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. All the prophets agree with this also. Amen. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel tells us about the Antichrist coming into the temple and defiling the temple and bringing in a desolation or an abomination that maketh desolate. Amen. There's going to be a temple in Jerusalem again. Amen. Hallelujah. And amen. He's going to set it up. That, the residue, that's what's left that didn't go out with the church. Amen. You're quiet again tonight. Amen. Now, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles of whom my name is called, saith the Lord, that doeth these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Amen. Amen. I'd like to talk about that blind spot. Amen. For 12 years, I preached, just like many of my brethren did, that the church was going through the tribulation. Amen. And since we just couldn't fathom, you know, the church going through the wrath of God, we decided mutually that the church was going out in the middle of the tribulation. Amen. And so, I was just as adamant. I had scripture. Amen. I was just as adamant as Buster Wilson. It's like, glory be to God. Sweet Lamb of God. Shake them big jaws. Say, how in the world is a Antichrist going to make war on the saints if there ain't no saints? Amen. I was just as adamant as he was. And you know what? He was right. Amen. There's going to be some saints for the Antichrist to make war with. Amen. You remember Brother Havis saying in the revival how that he found the church, amen, early in the book of Revelation, but over there he found them again, and when he thought they should have been gone, why, found them over there again, and he said, I don't know, right behind his pulpit. Amen. Brother Havis is right. Amen. You just keep finding them. Amen. Right. Yeah. Amen. We got all the pieces. Amen. Brother Bob Holden, my good friend, Brother Claude Ely, precious friends of mine. Amen. I've preached with for, and they've preached for me. Amen. And they too believe, just like I did, you know, that, amen, after the tribulation of those days shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven this year. He shall come along his holy angel to you, gather his elect from the four winds of heaven. That's the way we preached it. And you know something? We was right. Amen. He is going to do that. Amen. But he's not going to gather the present church. Amen. That's the residue that all the prophets spoke about. Amen. Now, let me demonstrate to you what the residue is. When Mom used to make cakes and things back home, amen, she'd stir up that whole bowl full of batter. Cake batter. Amen. And us kids would sit there with her head just barely big enough to stick over the edge of the table watching her make cake batter. And then she took that cake batter after she put all those good ingredients in there and put it in a cake pan and raked it out. And she let us have the bowl. And we fought over the residue that was in the bowl. Amen. We wanted to do what we call lick it. How many ever licked the bowl after Mama got the cake out of it, huh? Amen. Boy, that was a treat, wasn't it? There was some awful good stuff, but she didn't stop there. As she got the cake in the stove, amen, she got some eggs and she broke those eggs and separated those whites out of those shells, amen, and put those yolks over to the sides, you know. She broke another egg, she separated those whites out of those shells. How many of you ever seen Mom do that the hard way, the old time way? Amen. And finally she got enough white. I mean, she didn't have an egg beater or a mixer or anything back home. She took a fork and she beat it real fast. And she just kept beating it, and she beat it real fast until she had worked up a froth. I mean, she was making icing for those pies and those cakes. Amen. And later on, she made especially for cream pies. Coconut cream pie. She made that meringue out of those whites of the eggs, you know, and sprinkled a little coconut on top of it, shoved it in the stove, and just left it there. The old wood cook stove, and just left there long enough to let it brown. If I had one tonight, I'd break over. Amen. Even though I'm not supposed to eat sugar, and eat as near as I could to the whole thing. Amen. If I had one of Mama's coconut cream pies. Amen. But after she got all that meringue or all that cake icing out, amen, we wanted the bowl. And boy, we'd get us a spoon and about three spoons. And if we was taking time about licking pans and licking bowls, amen, We'd get it off to ourselves, that'd be our time, and we would get the residue out of it. All we could get out of there was a spoon. We'd get it out. And then if you didn't watch us, we'd have that bowl up there over our face licking it. Amen. Getting some more of that good stuff out of it. We wanted the residue. Amen. Now, I want to tell you tonight, you don't have to take the residue. Mom would make that big old yellow cake with that white icing on it, and she'd set it up in the safe out of our reach for dinner. Amen. And let us lick the residue out of the bowls to tide us over till dinner time. Amen. She'd let us lick the meringue out of the bowl after she beat those eggs up with nothing but a fork. Later on, she got her a cranking model mixer, and she'd crank it, you know, and mix that meringue and make a delicious racket for a child that liked to lick the pans after Mom got done with them. Amen. And we got the residue out of it. Mom put the pie up in the safe to save it for the dinner time, the feast. Amen. We wanted to eat pie and cake first. We if Mom had let us, we would have. But she made us eat the other first. And then finally, at long last, we got to eat the cake. Amen. God is going to take the cake, I want to tell you. One of these days, amen, he's going to take the multiplied millions of the church of the living God, and he's going to set them up, amen, in a safe place where even the Antichrist and the world and sin can't touch them. I mean, he's going to decorate the cake, hallelujah, for the feast that's coming, amen. Oh, yes, praise God. He's going to take out a people for his name. Amen. But there's going to be also a residue saved, folks. That the residue of men might seek after God. Amen. Now, I have preached erroneously, as many of you have heard others preach, and many of you made the same statement. If we can't live for God now, how are we going to live for God then? And that's true for most of us. Amen. But there's some that won't live for God any other way than when the powers of heaven are shaken and the sun is turned as black as sackcloth of hair and the moon is turned to blood. Amen. I believe the church goes up before the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Amen. I believe it's gone, brother. Time you get to the fourth chapter, you got the 24 elders sitting around the throne. Amen. You get over to the fifth chapter and the elders, and I like Dr. Sias' explanation of it. Amen. Years ago, Brother Vince Wilson believed this, but he preached among so many of our churches that didn't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture that he couldn't preach it unless he could get in a church where it was safe to preach it. Once in a while, he would try it in one of our camp meetings, and amen. And I heard him try it one day down in Alabama at the three-day fellowship meeting, and another brother got up right after him, amen, and used the same book of Revelation to try to prove, amen, that he was in error in teaching that the church was going up first before the tribulation period. And you know what? Both of them was right. Both of them had the pieces. Amen. They just had them misplaced. Amen. All of us, even though when I preached for 12 years that the church was going through tribulation, amen, I was just in error about the church part. Amen. There's going to be a whole bunch of saints found over in the tribulation. Read the book of Revelation again. Read it carefully. You'll find a bunch of them. Amen. Now, he told me, amen, this way Brother Vince would tunnel under. He told me to get Sias 52 lectures on the book of Revelation. Well, I had never seen one. I got down Brother Ben Shaw's church about 1963 or 4 at Falk, Arkansas, and Brother Ben Shaw had one of Sias's 52 lectures on the book of Revelation. They let me read it. And man, I got to reading that thing. Amen. And that old self-taught Lutheran, praise God, that wrote those 52 lectures on the book of Revelation. Amen. I mean, he put the screws down and demanded a literal interpretation of the book. Amen. Gave an altar call at the end of every lecture. And man, did he ever pull back the veil for me. And I saw like I never had seen before. I saw Brother John Rose like I had never realized before. Amen. Oh, there was the literal truth spelled out and demanded and answered for and answered to, praise God. And so I had preached from my pulpit, even the early years in Bartonville, that if I ever saw it, I would preach it. Well, I saw it, brother. I saw it. I saw it's plain. It couldn't be no other way. Amen. I still see it so plain. I know that I know. You say, you believe the church is going out of here before the great tribulation? I don't believe no such. I know the church is going out before the great tribulation. Praise God. I mean, the great bulk of this thing is leaving here. The ready ones are leaving here. Hallelujah. The cake, the full pie, brother. Amen. Is going to be set on the safe place. Amen. And they're going to be rewarded and decorated and crowned. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. But that doesn't mean that my brethren were totally in error. There are some elect that he's going to gather. Amen. There's a revival going to start. Amen. In Jerusalem after the church is gone. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the Holy Ghost is leaving. He never leaves. He just switches base of operations. Praise God. The church is the ones leaving. Amen. The Holy Ghost lift from what we call the church. And it'll be no more as such. Amen. And it'll go back like it was in Acts the Apostles. In Acts the Apostles, they didn't have no churches like this. Amen. They'd go to the synagogues and preach. But the best they had was the fields, the yards, and the hills, and their houses. They preached in their homes. They preached in public places. They didn't have no churches. Amen. I'll tell you, the church is going out of business like we know it today, just as soon as the rapture takes place. Amen. They're going to do with the church just like they did in China. They don't make bicycle shops out of them. Amen. They're going to take our church houses and turn them into skating rinks. Amen. And into storage buildings. Because the church is going out of business. But God's not going out of business. And it's going to be dangerous to have a church when the man of sin rules, because you'll be too easy found. You can find the church. Amen. But you can't find saints sometimes hid out in a basement worshiping God and crying out to God, God have mercy on us and forgive us. Amen. And so church has gone out of business as we know it. But there's a residue that's going to pray. Amen. Now, the church goes out of here in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. And we see them in heaven in the fourth and fifth chapter. Amen. The fifth chapter, 9 and 10, it said, and they who, the 24 elders and the four living creatures, a representative group and office that the saints were taking turn in holding in heaven, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. I want you to notice the wording, redeemed us to God. That's the same thing as taken out. Amen. We're not down here. We're not redeemed to the church. And they're not saying, come and join anymore. We're redeemed to God. Already in heaven, redeemed us to God by thy blood. Where did it come from? Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. By thy blood, out of every. Amen. That's the fifth chapter of Revelation, folks. That's the testimony that they're giving in heaven. Amen. And they're telling where they came from. You say, I bet they're just 24. There's more than 24 nations. Huh? There's more than 24 peoples in this world. Huh? There's more than 24 kindreds in this world. There's more than 24 tongues in this world. Bible's been translated into 1,000 languages already. Amen. There's about 275 nations in the United Nations, last account I had. Amen. That's a bunch. Amen. And here they've come out of every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. They're already in heaven before the book is even introduced, the seven seal book. Amen. And here's what they said, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. Already know what they're going to be. Going to be kings and priests. And we shall reign on earth. When? When we come back with him. On that white horse. Amen. That's the fifth chapter, folks. Amen. And then, pardon me for using a little bit brash term, but all hell breaks loose in the sixth chapter of Revelation. Amen. I mean, from the first seal, I mean, it starts getting the Antichrist, deceivers come marching out. Amen. And I beheld a white horse, and then he said, amen, I saw another horse that was red, and then I saw another horse that was black, and I saw another horseman that was that was a pale green, the color of death. Amen. And death and war and terrible things break loose down here in the world. Amen. And men call a prayer meeting and call for the mountains and the rocks to fall on us and hide us from the face that of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And then we get to the seventh chapter. And here we're having such a move of God, amen, in Jerusalem that 12,000 out of 12 different tribes are sealed until they count up 140, not 120, not 5,000, not 20,000, not even 50,000. Amen. Much bigger now, praise God, than in Acts chapter 2, home down, including Acts about 15. Praise God, when they could have amounted to probably 25 to 50,000 saints in Jerusalem alone. Amen. Here they're having such a move of God that it outstrips that of 144,000. Jews are sealed. What is the seal of God? Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1:13, in whom also after that ye had believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Referring to the 12 Ephesians that Paul had found who were disciples of John the Baptist, said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Amen. And said, we haven't so much heard what there be, the Holy Ghost. And he laid hands on them and they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. He's referring to that in Ephesians 1:13, in whom also after that ye had believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. What's going to be the seal? We're 144,000. Just like Joel said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen. And he's going to get the rest of them, folks. Amen. Oh, multiplied hundreds of thousands, millions of them have died because of rejected God. But thank God there's going to be 144,000, amen, in the first round in that great revival. Amen. And he said, they shall prophesy. What is prophesy? It's the same as preach. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm prophesying. I'm prophesying their prophecies, praise God. It's the same as preach. Amazing thing is that he said, your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Amen. Folks, it's going to be so bad then. And we're going to run so low on Christians then, amen, that you're going to be glad if you happen to be living in that age, even if it's a woman preaching. Amen. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Amen. Your twice, Joel said, your servants and your handmaidens are going to prophesy. Amen. He'll be glad to have them. Praise God. Amen. They're going to be an effective witness. Glory to God. God's power is going to be on them. And that's going to be the complete fulfillment. Amen. And in Jerusalem and in Mount Zion, I'll be delivered. Why? That's where the spotlight is. That's where the Spirit's moving again. That's where he's moved back to. Church is gone. Amen. Now he's moved back to Jerusalem. Amen. And Joel said, in Jerusalem, not in all the world, in Jerusalem and in Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Praise God. They're going to go out from Jerusalem again. They'll probably go into all the world. Amen. And they'll have some converts from all the world. Amen. Hey, amen. How many are they going to have? He said, after this, ninth verse, lo, a great multitude which no man could number. Huh? That's a pretty good residue, isn't it? Amen. When Naomi came back, remember, with Ruth, and she went to glean. You know what the gleaning was, don't you? That's where they picked up what was left on the ground. Amen. They picked it up in their apron and they let some handfuls on purpose fall for Ruth. And I mean, when she come home, she had a bushel of barley in her skirt tail. Amen. She came home, praise God, with a lot of barley. And you know what? They didn't sit down and count every little grain, because it had been too many to count. But what she brought wasn't anything compared to the pile that was up there in the main threshing, because she was a gleaning. It was a residue. But it was still too many to count, Jerry. You just don't get down and count 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. And here they are, 144,000. What's happened? Amen. Naomi and Ruth has come home. Grandma's come home. The Jews have come home to God. And 144,000, amen, have been sealed. Glory to God. And their witnesses' sound has gone into all the earth. Amen. And here they've got a number that no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, peoples, tongues, stood before the throne, the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palms in her hand, cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne." All the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, four beasts fell before the throne, the faces worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessed glory." One of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And John just shook his head, like I would have first 12 years I preached. Amen. "Lord, thou knowest." Amen. Because I believe after the church is gone, that's it. Amen. There'll be nobody else saved. Amen. Praise God. But here the church is in heaven, and they're helping open the seals, and they're announcing. And here one of those elders already in heaven is asking a question to John, one of those elders that's redeemed, washed in the blood, amen, out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue, and people, amen. He's asking John, "Who are these?" I like to put it in a little bit more exclamatory terms. "Who in the world are these, and where do they come from?" Amen. 15th chapter of Acts tells you who they are. They are the residue. God is licking the pan to get anybody that he can. God is scraping the bottom of the barrel that whosoever will, amen, might be saved. Praise God. Amen. And while the elder said to me, "Who are these? What are these? Braid and white robe, where'd he come from?" He said, "Sir, thou knowest." John was just as flabbergasted as he was. Amen. Or as he seemed to be. Amen. And then he answers him in the same verse that he says, "Sir, thou knowest." And he answered him and said, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Who did that? James, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, said it was the residue that did that. That the residue of men. Amen. Joel said that the remnant would do that. It was the remnant of men. It was that small amount that hadn't been gathered in yet that realized the mistake. Maybe hadn't even heard the message of the gospel yet. Amen. Like we know it, the light hadn't shined upon their pathway yet. Praise God. And therefore they are before the throne and in the temple and sitting on the throne already up there. Amen. He got them out too. Amen. Praise God. About the same time probably that he got the 144,000 out. Amen. He got them out in the 12th chapter of Revelation in the figure of the man child. And the Jewish nation went in the wilderness to stay there 3.5 more years for the great tribulation, such as there was not from the beginning of time until now. Amen. And 144,000 didn't even get to go through that one, because they're caught out in the 12th chapter, appear in heaven in the 14th chapter, safe from the Antichrist who reveals himself in the 13th chapter. And he makes war with the saints. Not the number that no man could number. They're already up there. And not the 144,000. They're already up there. Well, how in the world is he going to make war with the saints if there ain't no saints? Amen. There's going to be some more saints. Hallelujah. Three angels going to fly from one end of heaven to the other. One of them is going to be preaching the everlasting gospel. What is the gospel? Anybody know what the gospel is? Good news. The everlasting good news. You mean, amen, that angel messenger won't have one convert? Amen. Yeah, he's going to have some convert. Amen. There's another angel that's going to announce to the people of God, said, come out of her. Come out of Babylon, my people. Be not partaker of her. Well, how in the world, since, amen, all the saints have been raptured, 144,000 is caught out. Amen. Number, no man can number, is already in heaven. Why, white robes, waving palms of victory. Who's he called out of Babylon? Some more got saved. Amen. Some more got right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. That angel preaching had some success. And a few, not many, but a residue got saved. Hallelujah. If you don't believe there's quite a few of them, turn over to Revelation chapter 15. Amen. Now, the Antichrist is revealed in the 13th chapter. That's right in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. When he's revealed, he brings in the abomination that maketh desolate. Amen. And terrible things happen in Jerusalem in that hour. Praise God. That's that new super-duper battery, Billy. It's already going down on me. Amen. You're going to have to charge him a little more. Amen. And glory to God. Here, in the 15th chapter, he said, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Amen. Man of sin been revealed. Amen. Mark of the beast has become a reality. The last and worst part of the tribulation period, amen, is going on. Amen. And listen to this. Out of the midst of it all, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Amen. Right in the last half of the tribulation period, there's going to be some people that's going to get right and be so stubborn in their resistance to the Antichrist that they're going to get victory over his name and over the number of his name. Amen. Seal their testimony with their blood. Amen. And here they are standing on the sea of glass. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, Jesus is going to lick that pan clean before it's over. If there's any sweetness left in it, he's going to get it out of there. Praise God. If there's anything good in it, he's going to get it out of there. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. I mean, in the 16th chapter, he treads the winepress of his wrath. Amen. Until the blood runs to the horse's bridles. Amen. In the 17th chapter, the beast destroys the great whore that's riding his trouble at him. In the 18th chapter, he destroys Babylon. Amen. But the whole Jewish nation is hiding out down in Edom and Moab while it's all going on. Amen. And the two witnesses, I think they preached in the last half of the tribulation. Amen. They've been so powerful in their preaching. Amen. And you know, people that deny the miracles of the church today, they say that the devil is going to perform miracles in the last day. I'm going to tell you something. God's two witnesses is performing miracles too. Amen. I want you to know their snake swallows up the snakes of the magicians of Babylon too. Amen. I mean, the first thing they draw up the skies, and the last half of the tribulation period, there's no rain. Amen. I mean, the Antichrist has such a fight on his hands that according to the book of Zechariah, the time he comes to power, he has to have his picture took sideways because one eye is burned out and one arm is seared off. Amen. He just got one eye and one arm. Zechariah prophesies judgment against that false shepherd, that idol shepherd. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, he have to have his picture took. And they make his image up, turn him sideways for people to worship him. They won't like the one side. He's going to have such a battle on his hands. Amen. Glory to God. And the children of Israel, amen, they survive with the help of the two witnesses. And about 100 days before the great tribulation is over, they even get partial access back to the temple in Jerusalem. Their miracles are so successful. Amen. And then, at the end of that 3.5 year period, the Antichrist kills them two saints. And they lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 days. And then they're raptured. They're caught up. Amen. Just in time to meet two big angels with two big white horses and say, here, boys, saddle up. We're going down for the attack. You got here just in time. Woo! In the 19th chapter, glory to God, the Son of God will appear in the heavens and ride down, amen, through the heavens. He shall jump off of that white stallion, and the Bible said his feet shall stand at that day, Zechariah 14, upon the Mount of Olives. Amen. The mount shall cleave in sunder. There'll be a great earthquake. Amen. One shall part of it, shall go to the east and one to the west. Amen. Or north and south. I can't remember. Glory to God. Amen. He's going to trample the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. He's going to save that remnant of Israel according to Romans chapter 11. Amen. All Israel shall be saved, and according to the prophets, he's going to do it in one day's time. It's going to be the most successful one-day revival you ever saw. Praise God. Amen. And as they gather to him, happy to see their Messiah, they're going to ask him, but what are these wounds in your hands and these wounds in your feet? And he'll say, these are they where I was wounded in the house of my friends, wounded for you. Praise God. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, God ain't going to give up easy on this old world. But why take the residue when you can have the cake? Why take a chance on licking the kittle when you can have the whole pie? Amen. Why take a chance on missing the rapture by falling away with the church that's going to backslide in these last days? Amen. You don't realize what God's doing today. You cannot appreciate what God's doing today. You cannot appreciate the multiplied millions of saints that's ready for the rapture in the world. Amen.